Okay, we're gonna get started now. Hopefully a few more people will be coming to join us, but it is after 8 o'clock, so let's get going. Just two notes before we start. First of all, tonight's shir should be Bizchus Refuah Shleima for Rav Michal Avram ben Sar Devora. Rabbi Myers from Ida Crown is having surgery, or undergoing surgery, so he should have a Refuah Shleima. Surgery should go well, it should all go well, the recovery should go well, and we should see him back in school soon. That's number one. Number two, I want to do a little chazara. Because last week we discussed something, I think it was Mrs. Rosenberg who asked the question. Because last week we were discussing the chiv of Kiddush on Friday night and who is obligated in that Kiddush. And we were discussing, and we said that both men and women are obligated in Kiddush, midda oraisa. Then we went on to say that when a man, according to some, when a man davens Friday night in shul, according to the Rambam and the Magen Avraham, so he fulfills his chiv of Kiddush midaraisa, because the chiv of Kiddush comes from the pasuk Zechor, Esyom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Once you mention Shabbos, so you've fulfilled the obligation of Kiddush on Friday night. We quoted, I think it was the Dagom Rebava, the Noda Bihuda even says, simply saying good Shabbos to someone is enough of mentioning Shabbos, it's enough of a haskara, we'll call it, to fulfill one's obligation, and therefore the man has now made Kiddush for his wife on Friday night. That's the question. That's what we started with. So, we mentioned a couple different ideas, but I think Mrs. Rosenberg's question fundamentally was, why is it then that a man is going to, at the end of the day, make Kiddush for his wife? Was that correct? Everybody with me so far? Mrs. Rosenberg, that was you who asked the question. Am I correct in that? Oh, there was another. Okay, so I got excited that I saw your last name here, because I think it was just the Renee on last week's shir, and I wasn't sure who Renee was. So maybe not. Okay, so I don't know who asked the question. I thought it was you. Okay, either way, the point is that that was a pretty compelling question. I had looked into the sources a little bit before last week's shir, but I wasn't necessarily prepared, and I don't know if my answer was good enough or sufficient. I don't know if anybody remembers the question or the answer, so I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about at all. Maybe a couple thumbs up if you're with me at this point and you remember from last week. But I was thinking about it a lot, and I looked. It happens to be a fascinating sugya. So there are a couple reasons, and maybe I mentioned this like offhandedly, but I wasn't so confident in it because I didn't look into it as much. But there are a number of reasons to say that a man should really be making Kiddush Friday night, or at least that, let's say like this, that his chiyuv is still a daraisa. I think there are five or six mentioned. So first of all, the Gemara in Pesachim teaches Laman Tiskras Yom Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That pasuk about Yitzias Mitzrayim is connected to Zechoras Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. The Yom and the Yom are connected. There's a Gezeirah Shava that the Gemara learns, and the Minchas Chinuch discusses this also. And because of that, the Kiddush that is said, or the mentioning of Shabbos in Tefillah, doesn't fulfill one's obligation of Kiddush on Friday night, because the Tefillah doesn't make note of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim needs to be noted in Kiddush Friday night, and therefore one has not fulfilled his mitzvah midda oraisa obligation through his tefillah. That's number one. Number two, the Minchas Chinuch even notes that a man should have kavana not to fulfill his mitzvah of Kiddush through his tefillah on Friday night. Which is a very interesting idea, to have like anti-kavana. Right? That comes up a lot. Very often we're familiar. One of the most classic, I would say, examples of this is when it comes to shaking Arba Minim. Most individuals, besides my brother-in-law, like to hold their esrog upside down. You make the bracha and you flip it over and then you shake. Because the moment you lift your esrog, you have your Arba Minim right side up, so you've been mekayim the mitzvah of taking your Arba Minim. So we hold it upside down, you make your bracha, and then you flip it over. But my brother-in-law, and I'm sure there are maybe one or two other individuals in the world who do this, have what he calls anti-kavana. Meaning he picks it up and he has kavana to not to be yotzei his chiv of Arba Minim. He has anti-kavana, makes the bracha, and then he has his kavana to do it. So Minchas Chinuch says that a guy should actually have anti-kavana in their Shmoneh Esrei, again, to get themselves out of this whole question, to ensure that he's chayiv midda oraisa, so that he's on the same level as his spouse, let's say, when it comes to making Kiddush Friday night. We spoke about, generally speaking, the notion of arvos, and being able to be motzi a person, even though you've already fulfilled your own obligation, and that's a much broader sugya, so we're not going to get as involved in that. I saw something really, really cool. Rav Ovadia Yosef, who's one of the giants of the past generation, and as one of my Rebbeim said, if you've ever looked at Rav Ovadia's Svarim, and I think we actually saw something that he quoted with regards to electric candles for Shabbos and for Hanukkah. But his tshuvas are just, they're breathtaking, and they're sweeping in terms of just his breadth of knowledge of everything that was ever written. So so he quotes something that is super fascinating, where he says that if you have a mitzvah, right, in which you can fulfill it, you can accomplish the mitzvah, what he calls be'ofen kal, meaning on a more, let's call it a bidi eved level, or not bidi eved, but you do the basics, you accomplish the mitzvah. However, Chazal came along, and they added to this mitzvah, and they said they're extra chumras that you can do to kind of fulfill your obligation. So there's a whole question, and he doesn't necessarily, I don't remember if he concludes one way or the other in a definitive fashion, but he says there's a question amongst the Achronim, if you can fulfill a mitzvah, or if you fulfill the mitzvah, be'ofen kal, and you kind of neglect the extra chumras that Chazal added to the mitzvah, have you actually been mekayim your mitzvah? So he connects this to Kiddush on Friday night. Why? Because you can simply do zechira, you can mention it in your tefillah, but you lack the Kiddush al hakos, Kiddush al hayayin, which many say that it is the chiyuv d'oraisa, the ideal way in which to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush on Friday night, and because of that, maybe you haven't fulfilled your chiyuv mid'oraisa. And the last one that someone suggested to me, which I thought was very cute, was if you assume like the Rambam and the Magen Avraham and the Noda Bihuda that mentioning Shabbos on Friday night knocks, so to speak, knocks down your level because you're already Mekayim Midaraisa, so now you're a level lower than your wife. So a guy suggested, I heard someone suggest, that when you walk into your house Friday night, not when you, but when let's say a husband, a man walks into his house Friday night, so he should say to his wife or say to his mom or say to his sister, whoever's at the table, say, oh, good Shabbos, right when he walks in, hoping that the person will say back, good Shabbos, right? Now, once a person says good Shabbos, bam, now they're on the same level. Now, those are all cute ways, not cute, I think very important and very nice ways. The last one's maybe a little cute, but a very, very interesting ways to try to show how a guy's chiv is still midaraisa. Now, that doesn't necessarily answer the question, who I thought Ms. Rosenberg asked, but I guess it wasn't. Eliyahu Navi, who knows? Someone came to the shir last week and asked this question, that it still seems that if a woman's chiv is midaraisa, so then why are we jumping through hoops to say that really a man's chiyuv is still deraisa also, and he can also make kiddush? Like, why don't we have the woman making kiddush? Which I think is a pretty compelling question, especially if this is a Neely women's shir. No? Everybody with me on that? I think that's a compelling question. So, I was looking around a little bit, and the Mishnah Berurah does discuss this a little bit, but I think probably one answer would be, just like a man and a woman are obligated in Neros Shabbos, and the Neros are more the woman's mitzvah, so it could be, again, it could be that the notion of the, let's say, quote, the man of the house making kiddush, he feels more, it's more of like the bala bas kind of vibe. I don't know if that's like a good halachic terminology. It's not, I guess. It's not halachic terminology. But maybe the question's a little bit more compelling than the answer, but I thought I wanted to make note of that from last week. I thought it was a couple of nice ideas that come out from that. Fine. Moving on to tonight's shir, or tonight's topic, because we already started tonight's shir, Baruch Hashem. Is the topic of Kiddush b'makom Suda, right? Next week we're going to be discussing Mirtz Hashem Kiddush on Schnapps and whether or not one should be dafka making Kiddush on wine and grape juice, or should we be making it, or can one be making it on any sort of hard alcohol, anything like that. So in case you have friends who might be interested in that, you know, tell everybody and everyone will come to shir next week. But anyway, tonight's shir, tonight's topic is Kiddush b'makom Suda. Kiddush b'makom Suda is a fascinating topic that happens to be super, super relevant, especially if you attend a synagogue who has a kiddush after davening. So the story is like this. The Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Kuf Amud Beis has a discussion. It says that there are those people, Osam B'nei Adam, Shekidshu, the Beis HaKnesses. They're those people who make kiddush in Shul Friday night. And the discussion is, what is the function or what is the purpose for this kiddush? Right? After all, there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not one actually fulfills their chiv of kiddush. Rav says you fulfill Yotzi Yedei Chovas kiddush. We are talking about, sorry about that, thank you. We're talking about, the Gemara is talking about Friday night Kiddush, but I think it applies to Shabbos day Kiddush as well, although we'll speak more at length about daytime Kiddush later on. But the Gemara is discussing Kiddush on Friday night. Osam b'nei adam shekidshu b'beis haknesses. There are those people, and the Rashbam, thank you, points out that it's dafka Kiddush b'leile shabbosos v'yamim tovim b'beis haknesses, so it's dafka Friday night Kiddush. So people make Kiddush Friday night. Rav comes along and says, yidei birchas hayayin lo yatsu. You don't fulfill anything in terms of the bracha on yayin. However, you do fulfill your chiv of kiddush. Fine. So everyone keeping score at home, kiddush you got, yayin you did not get. However, Shmuel comes along and says, no, af yidei kiddush lo yatsa. You didn't even fulfill your chiv of kiddush on Friday night. So the Gemara says, well, according to both, we have questions, right? Because according to Rav, why do you need to make kiddush again when you get home Friday night? If you made it in shul, that should have been sufficient. So the Gemara answers to Rav, or for Rav, that no, you make kiddush at home to be motzi banov ubnei beso. Anybody who's found that you're in your house on Friday night, that's why you're making kiddush again. According to Shmuel, so why do you need to make kiddush in shul anyway? Meaning, if according to Shmuel, the kiddush doesn't do anything, it doesn't serve any purpose, you're not mekayim, you're not yotzei the kiddush, you're not yotzei the yayin, so what's the purpose of making kiddush in shul Friday night? So then, this is a throwback to something we've spoken about earlier, but the Gemara answers, it's to be motzi the orchim, right? To make kiddush for those people who are staying and sleeping and eating in shul, we make kiddush for them. Fine. So we have a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, and this is really where the entire sugya gets started. And the Gemara, not the Gemara, but really we paskin like Shmuel. And the Rashbam explains the opinion of Shmuel. Why is it that you're not even yotzei, you're kiddush in shul Friday night? Again, when we make kiddush in shul Friday night, why does that not help us at all? Doesn't do anything. So he says, because it lacks kiddush b'makom suda. We require kiddush in the place in which we're eating. We're not eating in shul Friday night, and because of that, the kiddush that is made in shul does not help us at all. Now the question is, what is kiddush b'makom suda? Right? Why do we need kiddush b'makom suda? So the Rashbam gives us two answers. The first answer is probably something that we're more familiar with based on the sugyas that we've learned about Neros Shabbos, and that is the Pasuk in Yeshaya tells us, Vikarasa l'Shabbos Oneg. And we know when it comes to Oneg Shabbos for Shabbos lift, we want to make sure that the candles are lit in a place where we will be eating. Based on that, Vikarasa l'Shabbos Oneg, Chazal understand that we are ma'aneg, we delight in Shabbos, we have our sudas Shabbos in a place, shikore Shabbos, meaning a place that we're calling Shabbos, a place that we are making kiddush, right? And because of that, kiddush b'makom suda requires us to make kiddush in a place where we're going to be eating. That's number one. The second answer that the Rashbam, or the second approach that the Rashbam gives us, is that it's more of a svara. It's not based on a pasuk, but it's like a logical. It makes sense. And that's because Chazal were koveya kiddush al hayayin. They said we have to make kiddush on a cup of wine. And the assumption is, and his words are, yayin shebishas ha-su'uda hukvad dechashiv, that the wine that we're drinking or that we're having, that we're pouring at the time of a su'uda, gives a certain sense of permanence to the meal. It's not chaplap, it's not, hey, come, have a drink, whatever it is. But when you're having, when you're pouring a kos of wine, it gives it a little bit more, not just stability, but I would call it significance and kfiyas, permanence to the meal. So again, just to quickly summarize, we have two reasons for kiddush b'makom suda. Kiddush b'makom suda is either because of the drasha of v'karasa l'shabbos oneg, we need to make kiddush in the place that we're going to be ma'aneg, the delight of Shabbos, we're going to enjoy our suda, or the svara that the kiddush on wine is what gives the suda a sense of chashivos. So now the questions are as follows. This is what we're going to be discussing. We're going to discuss, when does the suda need to start? Meaning, if you make kiddush and there's some sort of time lapse in between the kiddush and the achila, does that count? Right? That's question number one. Question number two is, what's considered makom when we talk about kiddush b'makom suda? Right? Some people make kiddush at the island in their kitchen, and then they, you know, eventually saunter into the dining room and maybe have suda at the dining room table. Or maybe it's in shul, and then they hear kiddush in shul, and then they go home to make hamotzi. Is that sufficient? Is that makom b'makom? Is that still in the context, or the confines, we'll call it, of kiddush b'makom suda? And lastly, when it comes to kiddush b'makom suda, so how are we defining, how are we being magdir, how are we qualifying the term su'uda? Meaning, what needs to be eaten to fulfill one's obligation of kiddush b'makom suda? Right? And that's going to be anything from bread on the most severe, most machmir approach, to maybe having peros or mizonos, fruits and mizonos, anything like that, that would be sufficient. So those are the three things that we're going to be discussing in the context of kiddush b'makom suda. Everybody with me up until this point? Okay, I'm getting some nods. I'm sure there are other nods on the blank screens, but it's all good. Okay, feel free to use those emojis. It makes me feel like more people are listening, even though I know everybody's already listening. Anyway, so here we go. Ah, there we go. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Ah, there we go. Awesome. All those thumbs up coming. Beautiful. Okay, so the first question is the following. When when do you need to have this seuda following Kiddush? So this is found in, and most of the halachos with regards to Kiddush b'makom seuda are found in Simen Reish Ayin Gimel in Shulchan Aruch. We've been mostly, the past, you know, little bit, been involved in Reish Ayin Aleph. We're jumping to Simanim ahead to Reish Ayin Gimel, where he says the following. Actually, I'm going to do something a little bit wild here. Everybody with me? Let's share screen a little bit. Everybody with me? I think everybody can see that. Although when I do it like that, I can't really see anybody on the Zoom, but it's fine. I'm assuming everybody's still there. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Siv Gimel, Im Kiddush Velo Sa'ad. Okay? Right over here. If you make Kiddush, but you do not eat, Af Yidei Kiddush Lo Yatsa. You didn't accomplish anything. Okay? So you make Kiddush, but you didn't eat. So your Kiddush is basically nothing. Right? It doesn't accomplish anything. And because of that, you have to make Kiddush again when you're actually going to be eating. Says the Ramah, V'tzarech le'echal b'makom Kiddush le'alter. Meaning, what is it? What's this delay? So the Ramah, right, the Shulchan Aruch leaves it kind of open-ended. You make Kiddush, v'lo sa'id, but you didn't eat, so your Kiddush wasn't, it didn't do anything. But that just seems to be that you make Kiddush, and you can wait an hour or two, as long as you eat in the place you made Kiddush, you're good to go. And that's for maybe Sfardim. However, the Ramah comes along and tells us, Ashkenazim, V'tzarech le'echal b'makom Kiddush le'alter, that you need to eat in the place in which you made Kiddush le'alter, which means immediately, right after Kiddush, you should start eating. Or, he says at least, Oshehe b'dayta le'echal sham miyad, meaning, you should at least have intention to eat right away in the place you're making Kiddush. That's the Ramah. Now, still, it's a little bit vague, right? Like, what's immediately, is it like mamish, like the second you finish drinking grape juice, you run to the sink, like, can you wait a couple minutes? Can you shmai around? Can you schmooze a little bit? Can someone tell over what the rabbi said in his drasha? And then everybody goes. So what's the idea? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us, he's a little bit intense. He says, "Velo yafsik afilu zman katzer." He says that you really shouldn't wait even a short period of time. However, he hedges a little bit and he quotes the Sha'ari Knesses HaGadola, who say if one makes Kiddush, and then for whatever reason you go outside, you come back in, right? Something happens. You wouldn't have to repeat Kiddush because Lamaisa, his Suda is going to be in the place of Kiddush. Meaning, it sounds like if your intention was to make Kiddush and then eat, and for whatever reason you got a little bit delayed or something came up that you took your attention away from it, that wouldn't require you to then go ahead and make a new Kiddush. Right? Everybody with me so far? So the idea is, at least it sounds like from the Ramah and Mishnah Berurah, is that you should try really to wash and start eating soon after making Kiddush. I saw that there was a question in the box, so let me check that out real quick. Can you eat other foods between Kiddush and Hamotzi? That's an awesome question. So the answer is going to be yes. If I'm not mistaken, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know if what everyone's Shabbos table looks like, but maybe the fish is already on the table, or some of the salads, or, I don't know, pickles or olives, or whatever people are into. So to me, I think the, again, I don't know anything, but I think the answer is that it's okay. But really, with regards to being Mekayim Kiddush B'Makom Suda, that doesn't help you, right? That doesn't mean it precludes you from being allowed to eat that. Although if you're about to make Hamotzi, maybe it's best to not go ahead and make a Hadamah or Haetz or something like that. If you're about to make a Bracha anyway, that's more of a Hilchos Brachos question. I think strictly speaking, the answer is yes, you're allowed to eat other foods. But we're really dealing, but that won't help you in terms of being Mekayim, your Chiyav of Kiddush, which needs to be B'Makom Suda. Does that answer, Zahava? Thumbs up. Thank you. Okay, great. Awesome. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so that takes care of number one. When does the Suda need to start? Let's move on to number three. The second question is, what's considered a makom? And that's the big question here. Because if you hear Kiddush and Shul on Friday night, or if you hear Kiddush and Shul, let's say Shabbos morning, does that fulfill your obligation of Kiddush? So the Gemara in Pesachim actually deals with this. He says that if you go mi bayis le bayis, if you go from one house to another house, or one building to another building, so that is not okay, that would not help you, that's not b'makom su'uda, and it would necessitate a new Kiddush. However, going from one place in the same house, there is a little bit more room to say it's okay. It wouldn't necessarily require a second Kiddush. But, that being said, the Gemara qualifies that statement and says that Shmuel, when he would go me'igra la'ara, when he would go from the roof, from the second level, we'll call it, down to the first level, he would actually go ahead and make a new Kiddush. And, or I would say yet, the Tosfos there says going mi'pina l'pina, which is two different sides of a room, is going to be considered b'makom suda. So if you're in, let's say, a larger social hall in a shul, and maybe there's the, you know how they have the drink table sometimes set up, and then maybe the challenge is somewhere else, and the challenge are somewhere else, whatever the case may be. So if that's the case, if you're in that sort of social hall, or a setting like that, so that would be considered b'makom suda. It's all considered one case. And the Aruch HaShulchan really summarizes all of this for us. The Aruch HaShulchan and Simon, again, Reish Ayin Gimel Se'if Beis, very, very nicely lays out the following. He says there are three different levels, three different categories based on this Gemara that we just read. Pina Lapina, which is going from one side of the room to the other side of the room, doesn't require a second Kiddush. But not only does it not require a second Kiddush, he says it doesn't even matter if you had Kavana to go to the other side of the room. Meaning as long as you're in one room and you can see the other side of the room, that's totally fine, not a big deal. However, what he calls it, mecheder lecheder b'bayis echad, going from one room to the other, or from one floor, like Shmuel went me'igra la'ara, going from one floor to the other one. Let's say you're, I don't know, in the dining room, and you go down to the basement, something like that. So this would only work, meaning you would not need to make a new kiddush if you had kavana to do that from the beginning. Okay, so again, going from one side of the room to the other side of the room, that's totally okay, even without kavana. But going from one room to a completely separate room, or one floor to another floor, that would require kavana that you're going to be doing that in order to not require a second kiddush. Now, where is that very halach lemaisa? Again, I don't know if people are going up. I feel like that's more for like, I don't know, people have like decks, if they eat on their deck or something like that. But where it is very relevant for us, the Ramah tells us with regards to sukkahs. Mibayis l'sukkah chashiv kimipina l'pina. When you make kiddush in your sukkah on sukkahs, so there's always that like latent kavana that like, or concern, maybe not kavana, but a concern that it might rain. And if it rains, you have to run inside. So that's still going to be considered b'makom suda, and you wouldn't need to make a new kiddush at all. So that is the second level. And the third one is going from two different buildings, or two different homes, even if they're next door to each other, even if they're on the same block. Again, even if you had kavana, B'shas Kiddush, even if you had intent while you were making Kiddush, that you were going to be going to the next place, that would not be sufficient, and you would need to say Kiddush again if it wasn't B'makom Suda. So what that means is like this. If you hear Kiddush in Shul, it's not a game over yet. Why is that? Because there's a way, meaning what we're going to say in a second, is let's say after Kiddush on Shabbos morning in Shul. Excuse me, after Shul, there's a Kiddush. That's what I meant to say. Shabbos morning, after davening, there's a Kiddush. Now, is that B'makom Suda or not? Well, if you didn't eat anything, well, then it's certainly not b'makom suda, and you'd be required to make kiddush when you get home. The question is, what's considered suda? Meaning, it could be that when you eat at shul, when you eat at the kiddush in shul, you've already fulfilled your kiddush b'makom suda, and that's what we're about to get to next with regards to what a person actually needs to eat to be yotzei his suda. Just 1 second, we'll check the question box. Right, there are shuls where the rabbi makes kiddush in the shul, and then everyone goes to the social hall. So I assume that's going to be considered mecheder lecheder, right, from one room to another. And I would imagine, I'm trying to think of the shuls in Chicago. Yishuren is interesting because it's actually a different floor, but it's actually parallel to the Ezra's Nashim, so maybe that's the same thing. But going mecheder lecheder, or even, we said, meigra la'ara, going from two different levels is okay, as long as there's going to be Kavana b'shas kiddush. So as long as the rabbi had intent that we're going from the main shul, let's call it, right, the sanctuary, the base kinesis, to the social hall, that's going to be totally okay. And I assume that's what the most rabbanim have kavana for when they make kiddush. Any other questions up until this point? No. Okay. Great. So then the question is, what's considered suda? And again, we have the gamut of shitos out there. The most intense shita, or the most machmir shita, we'll call it. Well, before we get to the shitas, let's say the Gemara. The Gemara in Pesachim, and again, the same place in Pesachim, quotes Rabba, who told his students, ti'imu midi, right? Taste a little bit. You have to have something to eat so that they can be yotze, yidei chovas kiddush b'makom suda, so that they can fill the requirement of having kiddush b'makom suda. Now, the problem is, what's ti'imu midi? Have something to eat, right? You should eat a little bit, right? And you know, I don't want to be a Jewish bubby here, but I remember when I walked into my bubby's house and she would say, eat a little bit. Eating a little bit is not, you know, my version of a little bit is like, I don't know, a chewy, a granola bar, who knows, right? My bubby's version of a little bit, or my grandmother's, certainly, her version of a little bit was a lot more. That was like, sudas shlomo b'shaito, or something like that. So when the Gemara says, Ti'imu midi. What does that mean? So Tosfos, Amek, Gemara, Psachim, and the Rush both say that you have to eat bread. You have to wash and make say hamotzi to be considered kiddush b'makom suda. Because if it lacks lechem, if you don't have a real lechem, defines the suda. So without bread, that's not going to be considered kiddush b'makom suda. And this, in fact, is what the Vilna Gaon did as well. The Gra says that you have to have lechem in order to be considered makom suda. That's opinion number one, right? The next level down would be yayin. You have to drink wine. This is quoted in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. Let's actually pull up the Shulchan Aruch with share screen. Let's do that one more time. And that is over here. Kasu ha-ga'onim. Hadde'in kiddush ela b'makom su'uda. Afilu achal davar mu'at. Oshasa kos yayin. Shechayev ala bracha yatsi yedei kiddush b'makom su'uda. So he says like this. He actually alluded to the second opinion as well, or the third opinion. So we'll keep it simple for a second. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch both quote the Gaonim, who say having a kos yayin is sufficient. Now, how much wine do you need to drink to be considered kiddush b'makom suda? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us that you need to drink a full revius of wine, which I think is, if I'm not mistaken, 3.3 ounces. Now, there are those who come on, I thought this was fascinating. If you're making kiddush anyway, right, and presumably, let's leave next week's shir, you know, next week. Presumably you're making kiddush on a cup of wine or grape juice. So once you make kiddush on that kos, aren't you good anyway? So there's actually an opinion quoted that besides your cup that you make kiddush on, you have to have a separate glass of wine or grape juice to be considered kiddush b'makom suda. The Aruch HaShulchan does not like that. He says, no way. Right? Because when it comes to lechem, you wouldn't have to have a separate kezias of lechem. And he's not into this at all. You wouldn't need to eat a kezias of bread aside from which you made hamotzi on to fulfill your obligation of lechem mishnah. That doesn't make sense. So because of that, he rejects this opinion. And he says as long as there's a kos yayin, that gives the su'uda enough significance, it gives it enough kvias, and because of that you can say that is kiddush b'makom dafka, that is a su'uda, and you're good to go. Yeah.
So does that mean just the person who's making kiddush has to have a kazai, or everybody?
Oh, okay, good. So that's a great question. I have.
I know what happens, but what's the halacha?
Yeah. So I don't want to answer offhand right now because I didn't look into that question. That is something that I wanted to get to in a week or two with regards to how do you distribute the wine. And you know, some people have different things in terms of pouring cups before kiddush and things like that. But I don't want to answer that offhand right now. I forget.
Okay.
So for this week, make sure
that's
you
fine.
Have something to eat as well. The third and probably most lenient opinion is found in the Shilte Giborim, who says that eating fruit is sufficient because his lashon is the following: Kol su'udas Shabbos chashuvahi. Anything that you intake on Shabbos, anything that you eat on Shabbos, is considered special. Why? Because it's for Shabbos. And he says afilu su'uda sarai, even a temporary, smaller scale type of su'uda is fine because su'udas keva hi nechsheves b'Shabbos. It's considered a su'uda kavua on Shabbos for our intents and purposes. And therefore, as long as you have mizonis, as long as you have some sort of fruit, you're okay, you're good to go. All su'udos and Shabbos have a status of chashuv, of important, and kavua, permanent. Now the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avram, who relies on this Shulte Giborim, to say that if you ate only a little bit, you had a shtickle mizonos, that you know the Rav makes kiddush and shul, or someone makes kiddush and shul, and you have a piece of cake, you have a cookie, a ragalach, whatever it may be, you're good to go, and you fulfilled your chiyuv of kiddush b'makom suda. Now, practically speaking, what do we do? Or what should one do? Right? We mention all three shitos, and it's quoted in the Mechaber, and the Mishnah Berurah discusses it. So Rav Moshe Sternbach, who's one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, has a set of responses referred to or called Chubos Vahanhagos. So in the first volume there, he was asked about kiddush and shul. Rav Avadja Yosef is also asked about this in a similar context about making a kiddush for a chassan or a kala in a shul. But the question is, the kiddush and shul that we're most familiar with, does that help us fulfill our obligation of kiddush b'makom suda? So he says, really, lichatchila, one should have bread at kiddush. Or let's say, meaning at kiddush, after kiddush is made, right? So at the kiddush and shul, you should have bread, you should make hamotzi to be yotze kiddush b'makom suda. Now, if you only eat mizonos at kiddush, really, ideally, you should be making Kiddush at home to make and followed up by Hamotzi to ensure you fulfilled Kiddush b'makom suda. And that's based on the Rambam that we've seen before. Right, we spoke about the Rambam making Kiddush, at the beginning, at the end of Shabbos, to have some sort of demarcation, right, to make sure that it's clear that it's Shabbos. Now, the Rambam tells us also that there's a mitzvah to make Kiddush on wine on Shabbos day before the second Seuda. And Rav Shnirbach understands that the Chiyuv of Kiddush is Dafka right before the Seuda because it's recognizable. We want to make sure that there's a Heker, that it's clear that this Seuda is for Shabbos. By making Kiddush, by saying Kiddush beforehand, that's what we're accomplishing. We're saying that what we're about to eat, this is all Lekavod Shabbos Kodesh, or maybe Leonik Shabbos Kodesh, as we've discussed. Now, he notes, legitimately, that many, many shuls, many, many people, are so mech, they rely upon the Magen Avram, that as long as you eat Mizonos and Shul, you fulfilled Kiddush B'makom Suda. It's best to make Kiddush again when you get home, like we said before, to make sure that there's Hamotzi. But for the people who, let's say, hear Kiddush and Shul and have a little bit to eat at the Kiddush, when they come home, to go straight into Hamotzi isn't crazy. They have what to rely upon. But halacha lamais, it's best to make Kiddush at your own Shabbos table before you make Hamotzi. So that's a little bit about Kiddush B'makom Suda. Let's quickly review what we said today. We spoke about the opening Gemara that had a machlokas Rav and Shmuel with regards to making Kiddush and Shul Friday night. Did they accomplish anything from that Kiddush? It was a machlokas, but we passed him like Shmuel that it doesn't help us out. Why does it not help us out? Because we say we need Kiddush B'makom Suda. When it comes to Kiddush B'makom Suda, the reason is we want to make sure V'karasa L'Shabbos Oneg, number one, or that there's a Svara, the Kiddush Al HaYayin Shebe Suda, to make sure that there's this notion that the Yayin that we make Kiddush on gives our meal a little bit more significance and a little bit more Chashivos. Those were the reasons for Kiddush B'makom Suda. Then we discussed three primary things. First of all, when does the Suda need to start? We said it should really start as quickly as possible based on the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah, although if there is an unforeseen delay, you would not be required to go ahead and make Kiddush. Then we spoke about what's considered the makom for Kiddush B'makom Suda. We said there's three different levels, either within one larger same room, doesn't require kavana to switch. Then we said going mecheder lecheder, right, or from one floor to another floor, which counts, it's okay, as long as you had kavana to go from one place to the other. And parenthetically, we noted that with regards to going from your house to a sukkah or a sukkah to the house, there's an assumed kavana. And then there's this last one of going from building to building, which would not be okay. Meaning, assuming you did not have your su'uda in place number Aleph, in makom Aleph, you'd be required to make Kiddush again in makom Beis. And then we spoke about what actually needs to be consumed, what do you need to eat at the su'uda to make sure that it's actually considered a su'uda. Let's take a couple questions. That's why there are a couple of questions in the chat box. Let's check that out. Can you make Kiddush at the kitchen table, have coffee and Mizonos, and then wash, and move into the dining room for lunch? So, the assumption is, I would imagine most people's dining room and kitchen are on the same floor, right, in the same area. And if that's the case, I think most people are makel to assume that that's okay. That's what I would say. What if we make Kiddush with Mizonos coffee at home, and we later sit down to eat? She make Kiddush again at the table before the bread suda. So again, that's what Rav Shtirnbach was saying. Yesham Yilismoch from the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham, that as long as you have your Mizonos, you are okay, you're in the clear, and that's considered suda. But he does say, based on the Rambam and Tosos and others, who seem to say that Lechem is really the Iker, so maybe it's maybe more proper, or more at least ideal, let's say, to make Kiddush again when you're going to be having your Lechem, you're going to be having your Lechem Mishnah. Okay, any last questions? Okay. Thank you everyone so much for learning with me, and I look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you.